You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Rob, Joe and Anika.
If you don't listen to The Playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks.
Hi, I don't know. See, I was telling Rob when we were doing To Infinity on
Saturday.
Yeah,
we do more than one podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, Dream team.
What was that?
Oh, I used to be able to do that really good, but my body's seizing up. All right, carry on.
Bonjour. Welcome to
bonjour.
Why the fuck did I say that?
Bonjour.
Salut.
Ciao.
Aloha.
Ni hao.
Aloha. Yeah. Welcome to The Playbook.
Konnichiwa. Kia ora.
No mai haere mai. Welcome to The Playbook with Rob, Joe and Anika. We've also got Sam here again, second week in a row.
I tried fucking him up earlier on, but he kept coming back in again, so he's still there.
One half of Powered Up Radio. Jack's not here at the moment.
So are you powered up or are you radio? Oh,
powered up radio. Both.
No, are you powered up? Yes. Or are you radio?
I have my wit radio.
If you've got to explain stuff, don't work.
Yeah, I've got to think about that. But if I just don't think about it, I am radio.
Nice.
Dropped the mic and walked out of the studio. My plan worked. Thought he'd never go.
Yeah, anyway, we're actually here to talk about sport this week.
Oh, yeah.
We're glad to have you back, Anika. You were away last week. We missed you.
I was away last week.
And Anika's just here to make sure that this podcast does not get any more blokey than it did.
No, I've got to be honest, week. It was BFM blokey, which is different to other radio stations blokey.
Is that better?
Of course. We know.
What do you know?
Well, we just know. We don't phone up people.
Rob's looking very knowing right now, but I am learning absolutely nothing.
They look at each other and they go, yeah, we know. We know, not it, yeah.
They know, I do not, but anyway.
Rob, what's been going on with the Premier League?
Oh, right, okay. Well, football, because that's all I really care about at the moment.
You can't say that on a sports podcast.
Yes, I can. I've been all straight up about it. I don't,
the stuff's
all right, but I'm just focused for another couple of weeks. And then I can start wearing another T-shirt. Man United got absolutely battered by Brighton 4-0. I mean, they were abysmal. The players are signed out for the season. They don't care about the club. And they've only got one game to go. I mean, all I can say is what a waste of a fuck ton of money that team is.
On that note, would you... do you guys think that this is the worst season for Man United?
Oh, without a doubt.
You think so? 100%.
They're just... they don't care. But the thing is... they need a complete clear out, but my thought is, who wants to buy any of them? And then you just told me before we did this, now is this a wind up, but Chelsea want to buy the human slab?
I've seen on Twitter that the Fisher and Paykel refrigerator, Harry Maguire, is Chelsea's top defensive target this window.
Why is shit?
I don't know. He's probably decent on FIFA or something. That's probably the face off of video games.
Is this the guy the human slab?
Yeah,
probably the worst defender in the world.
Oh, and he cost £85 million.
None of this is adding up.
No,
why would they do that?
No,
it wasn't worth £85 million in his prime, let alone now. Especially for a defender, that's insane.
Geez. And he was also made captain, and he's not a captain either. He's just
someone like Cristiano Ronaldo on the team. I mean, it's kind of.
But even he didn't, all right, he's got 18 goals, but when you look at it, he got a few hat-tricks. Unfortunately, he got one against us, Tottenham. I think he got two hat-tricks and maybe two lots of braces, so that's, 10 goals. So he's only scored 8 goals in about 20 games. I don't know what it is, but it's not a real good return.
No, definitely not. I think it's definitely better than Messi's return, though, 5 games.
Yeah.
5 goals in a whole league win season.
Yeah.
And in the Farmers League, it's literally just, you go down to Colin Maiden Park in East Auckland, you see a better Eastern Suburbs game than you would see in a league win game.
Yeah.
But, I think the era, as we know, the Messi and Ronaldo era is dwindling.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone.
It's dwindling, yeah.
But now we come up to a game that Liverpool won, Tottenham won. I mean, what a game. I thought we had a good... we should have won that. We had chances to win it, but we didn't. The thing is, when you take on teams like Liverpool and Man City, you can't go toe-to-toe with them. You've got to make sure they can't play. can't play their normal game, which is what we did. And then Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp cried about it afterwards in his match interview, saying, I don't like the way Tottenham played. You're fifth and we're second. I think he was basically meaning, well, we might be in the Champions. We're going to be in the Champions. You might not. But the thing is, right, I was actually thinking about this on the way here. If we do actually end up getting fourth, Liverpool aren't going to win the league. So we're in the same position as them. Liverpool didn't win anything. They didn't win the league, neither did we. But we're both in Champions League.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Just that's why I like Pep Guardiola, Man City manager, because when we've beaten them, and we do on quite a regular basis, he don't make any excuses up. He just goes, oh, you were better than us. Exactly. And that's class, I reckon.
I agree. Second.
That's class. Yeah, I love what Conte did. He didn't allow... If you take the opportunity for Salah, for the ball over the top and Salah to run into it, he's nothing.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
He's very weak.
He is a weak player. And we are the only team, Tottenham are the only team... Look, they're not even looking. Look, they're both on their phones. Look.
We're paying attention. I'm just preparing
listening.
The stuff
avidly.
That we're going to talk about while listening.
Okay, well...
We are listening.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say now. I put myself
up. Well, you did that to yourself, right?
Salah's weakness.
Yeah.
I
don't think... we've got the FA Cup is actually on Sunday, and that's Chelsea, Liverpool. Now, Chelsea haven't been... It drops off a little bit, but they win trophies.
True.
I didn't think I'd ever say this in a million years, but I want Chelsea to win on the FA Cup. And I want Real Madrid to win as well.
Oh,
I don't want Liverpool to win anything.
No? Did they win the Champions Cup?
Yeah.
Because
they were going for the quadruple.
That's right.
And they were real cocky about it a little while ago. Chelsea might even lose third position if Arsenal do all right.
Yeah, they are.
I think, as far as I'm concerned, we got Arsenal on Friday. Even if we win it, I don't think we'll get fourth. Because if they win their last two games and we win our last two games, they're going to win by 1 point.
Mm, yeah.
So I predicted we get seventh this season. And if we get fifth, I'll be happy with that. Come close, but with a team that was really quite shit until Conte got hold of them, really. When you look at players like Dyer and all that, who were absolutely rubbish before... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's just made them play really well. We're going to have a big spend up as well. So Friday, 6:45, Spurs Arsenal, and then we play Burnley. I think Monday morning, and West Ham have got Man City.
That'll be tough.
So I think it's going to end up as Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal. Spurs will be fifth, and that'll be it. And that's apart from Ronnie O'Sullivan, who last week, I think it was, got his seventh world championship in the snooker. Top man, love him. I think he's drawn level with Ian Hendry now, who had seven.
That's
insane. And so, real quick, we didn't cover this last week because it had happened after we'd recorded the podcast. I'm sorry to bring this up, Sam. What was your thoughts on that West Ham manager being given? Was it a red card for kicking the ball?
Well, passion. He just got angry. There was some fucking bad decision. The referee in this season has been absolutely fucking diabolical.
Yeah, especially you see referees, especially in Europe as well. That was, I mean, for the previous two legs, the quarterfinal and the semifinals against Sevilla and Lyon, we absolutely busted our asses to get the wins.
Mm.
Well, the quarterfinal and the, was it the, oh, whatever it is, whatever led up to the semifinal, we busted our asses to get those wins in the second legs because we drew the first leg and lost the first leg in those matches respectively.
Yeah.
But we're burnt out. We got no depth in our squad whatsoever.
That's a shame because you were doing really good earlier on in the season, obviously.
I think
it's a long season.
Yeah. Buying nobody in January was a huge mistake.
Oh, of course it was.
It was this was the time we didn't have the potential to go all the way through to Europa, right to the final, and even hopefully clinch that sixth, even Champions League spot without winning the Europa League. But we've been playing the same starting lineup since the first week.
Yeah.
Of the Premier League, which, to be fair to the team, you've got to give them props. They're playing
amazing,
at least two games a week for almost 52 weeks.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane. And they've held the ground as well. They're still seventh. And I think we're pretty much guaranteed top eight. Just depends how we do in the next two games, whether we clinch seventh.
Who have you got?
I think you said Man City. I'm not sure about next weekend.
We got Burnley and Norwich.
Oh,
but Burnley have always been a
a bogey team. For
yeah,
us. And
well,
they're fighting,
really?
But they're fighting to stay up.
Yeah, true. I mean, they lost 3-1 to Everton this weekend,
yeah.
didn't they?
Yeah. Oof. Which is going to save Frank Lampard. He's a shit manager.
Oh yeah, big time, big time. So yeah, what are my thoughts on that red card? I think yeah, like Rob said, definitely passion.
Yeah.
In the moment, in the heat yeah. of the moment.
He apologised afterwards.
Yeah.
And he's not that sort of geezer, is he?
No, definitely not. Just he's normally very composed, normally knows
yeah.
what he's doing. But I think just in like how high the stakes were and the fact that 20th minute red card for Aaron Cresswell just changed the whole pace of the game.
Yeah.
Because that was in the second leg of the quarterfinal against Lyon. He got red carded as well, which impacted the game, but not as much, pretty much. So it was frustrating for everyone who was watching. But one incident, I don't know if you guys heard about it, after the game had ended and all the players were going down the tunnel, Declan Rice, who is arguably the best young English footballer in the world right now, or the best young defensive midfielder in the world right now, he was coming down the tunnel and he was just absolutely going off at the ref, calling him corrupt.
Yeah,
know,
that's right. Yeah, no, he's
yeah,
saying things.
Really
yeah.
shouting.
You're getting paid for this, mate. How much are you getting?
Yeah, which is, again, passion.
He'll get fined for that.
Oh, big time, yeah. That's not a good look for him, especially he's similar to the manager. He's, despite the fact he's only 22, 23, yeah. he's very, very composed on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think everything that happened in that game was just, we're so close to getting something. We absolutely worked our asses off. I speak as a former part of the team, but
yeah.
We absolutely worked our asses off to get to where we got with yeah. pretty much tatters of what was left.
That's all what being a supporter is all about, as opposed to just a watcher.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I mean, getting up. I mean, F1, Formula 1 watchers and other football fans can relate. Waking up the arse crack in the morning.
Oh, man, I'm doing it all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Week in, week out, up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And then your whole day's twatted.
Yeah, getting absolutely...
And then sometimes I'll be going absolutely mad in Papakura, jumping about all over the place, but really quietly, because it's like 4:15 in the morning.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't want to wake up the roommate.
Nah.
Just hoping we got a big transfer budget coming, 200 million plus, which is absurd in general money terms, but in football.
But that's about four players, four half decent players.
Yeah. So that's,
or one really good one.
Exactly. So I'm really hoping we can use that well, essentially.
Yeah,
and we can clinch Europe and go from there again with. Having experienced this last season, knowing what to do, now we can go ahead and...
Lots of teams are rebuilding, when you think about it. Tottenham are, I think Chelsea have got to. Everybody's got to, really.
Oh, Haaland basically confirmed going to City,
yeah.
which is...
Yeah.
That is probably...
Scary.
It's scary, yeah. That's...
There's always so much going on with football, isn't
there?
Yes,
there is. There's
always so
big
much.
Money stuff, too. Like,
and they come back early as well because of the World Cup.
True, yeah, because I can't wait for that.
So, yeah, hopefully be a nice little short break and back into it again.
Yeah, so that's pretty much just put the nail in the coffin for the money teams. The Premier League's essentially destroyed now, but it's always good to...
And then you got Newcastle as well, who managed to stay up, and they've got so much money.
Oh, 100%.
Just, they got billions.
Yeah. Saudi money, right?
Saudi money.
Yeah. 300
blood money.
Millions they're worth.
So... Yeah. And it looks like Chelsea have been bought out as well.
Well, I've heard the new Chelsea boss has essentially just told the club's board, like, I'm just going to take this money for myself. Your transfer budget's going to be very minimal.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Which
mate,
will be all of it can be spent on Slabhead. Don't even need a fridge for the kitchen.
Brilliant.
On the pitch.
Brilliant.
And then we'll go there. Anika's yawning. I think we're
sorry.
Boring. Yep. Shall we move on?
Yeah, I'm not yawning because I'm tired of this. I'm just yawning because I'm...
Tired of everything.
Guys, I'm having a week.
Well, tell us about your week. What's been going on?
Tell us.
Miami Grand Prix, right?
No, the people don't care. No.
Everyone cares about you, Anika.
I thought you meant personally.
No.
Both. They care about you personally.
Yes, of course.
And they care about
course.
What you're about to talk about.
Thanks. Am I next?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you want to go next?
I can go next if you want. I can quickly brush over all the punch face stuff
that
was going
on
the weekend.
Really quick.
Yeah, had a lot going on. Over the weekend, UFC 274 was the big one. If you're a combat sports fan, which was headlined by Charles Oliveira and Justin Gaethje. Charles Oliveira missed weight by 0.5 pounds. So he was supposed to weigh in at 155. He weighed
Wasn't that dodgy scales?
Yeah.
Potentially, yes.
Oh.
I haven't looked too much into it, but...
Well, because didn't he miss, and it was the dodgy scales, but then a bunch of other people
yes.
realized that the scales were dodgy as well.
So apparently... bunch of other fighters were like 0.5 pounds overweight, and they were fine, but not Oliveira. If he did not make weight by 0.5 pounds and he was stripped of his belt. And so, yeah. I heard something about the hotel scales being a bit sketch, but...
It's one of the ones you have to put your money in.
Oh, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Some guy's gone down to the Walmart.
Just one of them.
They're like $15 set of scales, and that's just on the USC now.
True. But
that's pretty fucked, isn't it?
Did he have something in his pocket or something, or did he have a pretty hefty breakfast?
I reckon he just should have shaved his head, to be honest. But, yeah.
Does
so,
a bit of a mane.
Yeah. But I mean,
yeah, but if it's dodgy scales, that's
yeah, it's a different.
It happens. It's not. It's. I don't think it's. I don't know. It's just the way the sport goes, and yeah, he did win the fight in the first round though. He was dropped twice. I think the second time he got dropped, he may have been baiting him a bit, but yeah, got dropped twice by Gaethje, who hits like a truck, and then he persevered, dropped Gaethje, and submitted him with a rear naked choke. Beautiful performance from Oliveira. Now he's the number one contender, and then we'll see who gets to contend for the belt after that.
Woohoo!
So, yeah.
Exciting. Where was this year? Where was it held?
I'm not sure. I think it was in Phoenix. I'm pretty sure it was in Phoenix.
Oh, come
Phoenix.
On, man.
Pretty sure it was in Phoenix.
Yeah, just make a name up.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Phoenix,
pretty
sure.
First thing that's here in Arizona in, what, 150 years?
Nah.
No,
so
first landed at Arizona.
Co-main was interesting because it was Carla Esparza versus Rose Namajunas. It was their second fight. Carla Esparza got the best of Rose Namajunas in their first, and she did again. People calling this arguably one of the most boring title fights of all time.
So let's talk about it.
So we can talk about it if you want. Essentially, total strikes landed between the two. Rose landed 38. Carla landed 30. Carla landed 2 takedowns. Rose landed 1. That was throughout the whole 5 rounds. That's 25 minutes.
How long did the fight last?
5 rounds. That's 25 minutes.
Wow. So I was just like
more than a punch a minute.
So yeah, just no. It was.
Is that how you're doing?
That's how I do it.
Usually, a lot more is way more is landed than that, and usually a lot more happens than that. But they just did not get going. They didn't get out of first gear. So yeah, not much to talk about there. I was talking to a friend. He's like, oh, it should have been a draw, but I'm just. Like, I'm not sure. I'll have to rewatch that fight again and see how it was judged. Maybe. We'll see. There's a lot going on in combat sports at the moment.
I feel like there's always a lot going on in combat sports. Not that I'm complaining. Much.
Well, I'd say the main highlight of that card was Michael Chandler's knockout of Tony Ferguson, which was heartbreaking to see Tony Ferguson knocked out, because Tony Ferguson's like was known as the boogeyman of the lightweight division for a long time.
Scared children.
I mean, he was just avoided, but I mean, not the same as the WWE one, the guy who eats worms. But yeah, and then afterwards, afterwards he did this WWE like promo and called out Oliveira and Gaethje, and then did the big Conor McGregor call out, which I did play for you guys earlier. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I'm not sure if Conor's going to come back anytime soon, but it'd be cool to see him back. I think he should fight Chandler, though. I think that's his comeback fight.
Nah, I should just go to obscurity and beyond as far as I'm concerned. Guy's a knobhead.
I mean, that's a fair statement, but...
He's a
knobhead. Yeah. No, I mean, Conor's doing Conor. It'd be cool to see him back, but he doesn't have to come back. He's living in life, so it's whatever.
I think he's a dinosaur. You don't need idiots like him in the sport anymore.
He's the most famous person in Ireland.
He's the most famous.
Nah, Bono's got to be more famous than him.
He's straight up. Well, actually, no, nah, he's the most famous person in Ireland. I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, nice. It's got to be true.
Then.
Well,
St. Patrick.
But yeah, real quick, boxing.
He was Welsh.
Boxing, real quick. Canelo Alvarez faced Bivol over the weekend. Canelo Alvarez suffered his second ever defeat, his first being to Floyd Mayweather when he was a lot younger. He was 23 years old. Canelo's arguably the best boxer in the world right now.
He doesn't need a rematch. He'll get battered.
Well, he does have a rematch clause. He's calling for it. This fight was at light heavyweight. Now, Canelo was This is quite big for Canelo, quite big for his build, right? Yeah. This isn't his natural weight, you know? So, yeah, Bivol looked, yeah, way a lot more cleaner than he did. But I won't go into the technical side because, again, I'm not an expert. But, yeah, I do, however, know that the Klitschkos did make some comments about Bivol fighting Canelo. Because Bivol is from Russia, don't think he was fighting under the Russian flag for this fight. But the Klitschko brothers did say that Bivol shouldn't be allowed to fight Canelo. So there was that as well. Again, we talked about
that thing we've talked about so every week.
Literally for weeks and weeks and weeks. Yeah, I mean, it was such a lucrative fight. And, you know, again, with all the stuff going on in Ukraine right now, it does, you know, make a difference. But, yeah, that was the main highlights for combat sports this weekend.
Brilliant.
Yeah, there's lots and lots of stuff going on. We have, you know, Israel's fight with Cannonier got announced this weekend as well, so that's happening in July, and then that's a stacked card. You've got the trilogy fight with Volkanovski and Holloway going on. It's just, there's so much going on in combat sports, as well as, and not just UFC, but boxing as well, and it's all very exciting. Can you tell? I'm just buzzing for it. And yeah, I'm going to stop talking now. Anika, what's been going on?
Okay, so...
Was that sarcasm?
No. Me?
Moi? Controversy in the Playbook podcast.
Okay, well, I'm just going to briefly touch on the Miami Grand Prix, which...
Yeah, not good for Lewis.
Not good for Lewis, but, like, I'm sorry. It's been a little while since it has been good for Lewis.
I hope he packs up.
But the thing about Lewis is, like, he's getting a little bit whiny now as well, which is not a good look.
Yes,
like,
what I mean.
I think he's just past his peak.
Yep.
I don't want to say past his prime, because it's not like he's an old guy or anything, but, like, he is past his peak, and, like, the people coming up now are really young drivers, and they're doing really well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just want to touch on it. It wasn't, like, super crazy wild fun, but... last race before we entered the European season, where traditionally things do start to ramp up and change quite a bit. So, yeah, this went to Max Verstappen and Red Bull. Max is still sitting at, like, number two in the rankings, and Leclerc is still sitting at number one, but Red Bull has been steadily gaining on Ferrari, and I think one of the head engineers of Ferrari or something came out saying, like, oh, yeah, I mean, we're still sitting at the top of the leaderboard, but I think now we actually have to start doing better. And it's like, well, yeah, you can't just just sit there, like, you know, because these things can change so quickly. Now, I think this is going to be interesting because of the budget cap. So, as we know, there's, like, a budget cap, and...
Oh, is that how much?
It's, like, $150 million, I want to say.
What is their budget going to be?
I actually don't know, but... Huh?
What is their budget going to be?
Spark plugs.
So, basically...
massive extension cords.
Because these... the cars need to be constantly updated.
Ah, true.
But basically, how it used to be was they could spend any amount of money. So you had the smaller teams like Haas spending like $100 million, and then you had the bigger teams like Mercedes and Ferrari spending like $500 to $700 million a season.
That's outrageous.
And so the disparity was just insane. So now they've got a budget cap of. I'm actually gonna look that up real quick.
So the Americans cap a few years ago with Oracle
So the budget cap now is $140 million, so it was 145 last year, and it's 140 this year. So that just basically makes sure that you're not getting these massive disparities just because of how much a team can afford, because obviously teams like Mercedes and Ferrari have money that teams like Haas don't. But anyway, I think it's gonna get interesting when we go to Spain in I think a month or so, or maybe end of the month, when we go to Spain, because Red Bull has been consistently updating their vehicle this whole time, and so they've been coming to each new Grand Prix with, like, a few new parts, a few new, like, changes here and there. Ferrari hasn't, which kind of lends itself to the idea that they're going to have a big sort of investment into their car, and it's going to change a lot very quickly. probably in Spain, because that tends to be what happens when they enter the European season. So I think that's going to be interesting, whether this is going to be what, like, turns Ferrari back around. So, yeah, that's interesting, and I think that's probably one of the more interesting things to come out of the Miami Grand Prix. Apart from that, I mean, there were a few little crashes here and there, but it wasn't super... Yeah, it wasn't, like, a hectic race. Another thing that I found quite interesting was that there have been, like, massive complaints about the service at the Miami Grand Prix. Like, hospitality service apparently was shit.
Apparently
tickets are something like $13,000.
Fucking
hell. General tickets?
No. For, like, VIP tickets. So, well, those are the people complaining. So your David Beckhams and your...
Oh.
Also, Michelle Obama was there.
Huh, okay.
Nice.
That was
nice.
Interesting.
Why does no one care about Michelle?
No, I do.
Michelle's great.
Yeah, it's great. But, like, yeah, good to see you, Michelle.
Yeah. Anyway, so apparently the service was shit, and I found that kind of funny.
Bad F1 scram. Needs some inspiration.
Actually, a band name, I call it.
Bad scram.
Bad scram.
Bad F1 scram. Need to take notes. Steak and kidney pie, £2.50 from some non-league team in the Ice Cream of England.
But
Red Bull and Ferrari are the two that are in contention right now. They're really...
Yeah, sneaking. I mean, I think the
Mercedes?
Standings...
Mercedes are...
Well, George Russell came fifth. Yeah, George Russell came fifth. And I think Lewis Hamilton came sixth. I think, but he's not doing great. But yeah, I mean, we had Verstappen, so Red Bull win, and then Leclerc and Sainz come second and third, so that was Ferrari. Perez come fourth, so that was Red Bull. I think that's what it's going to be looking like. Mercedes has just been sitting very mid this whole time. Like, they haven't really sort of done anything that's making anyone think that they're going to...
Do anything.
Yeah.
Are McLaren still in the picture at all?
No.
They don't have a lot of money, eh?
I mean, that's very un-McLaren of them. Like $450,000 supercars.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. They're just not doing that
No,
well.
They're just not doing well.
Oh, yeah. Stink.
They literally just, like, haven't been...
Just not performing. Damn.
Worth talking about.
What are you guys' thoughts on Porsche and Audi being brought into the F1 scene now?
I think it's interesting. It's going to be interesting having Volkswagen in it.
Volkswagen as well?
Oh, no, because Volkswagen owns...
Audi, is it?
Porsche and Audi, don't they?
Yeah,
Porsche and Audi are Volkswagen brands.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So it's like through them that Volkswagen is going to be...
So I have like Volkswagen...
I could just see like Herbie's going to make a comeback.
See Lindsay Lohan.
Love to see Herbie in the fucking Grand Prix.
So I think they think...
Call it an AA. Lindsay Lohan, Herbie's just going to make an appearance on the... Yeah, okay.
So...
mid-60s people.
They don't... Okay, so I think now it is... Okay, I think at this stage it is generally accepted that Porsche is going to partner with Red Bull. And it is being speculated that Audi's going to partner with McLaren.
Actually
nothing's been confirmed, nothing's been like properly, but I wonder when it's going to be announced. I mean, it still has to announce.
Interesting
be
choice
announced.
From who was it, Porsche, was it Audi that's partnering with McLaren?
Maybe.
Interesting.
The potential.
They'll have see how that could fare McLaren's chances of doing a bit better than...
But yeah, I think Porsche and Red Bull are going to be interesting because I think it's the engine.
Oh, okay.
So Porsche will provide the Red Bull engine, which I think will be really interesting. And if Red Bull continues on the track that they are on,
could be good for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who currently provides the Red Bull engine?
That's
Mazda.
Toyota?
No.
Mazda CX-3.
You said Mazda very confidently.
I'm just making shit up at this stage.
It's not. I don't know. I should wait.
It's the only car I could think of because I just see cars as colours.
Whatever motors those teenagers are using to break into various malls around
Auckland. Oh, yeah, ram raiding.
Get some of those into stealing their nana's Toyota Vitz and driving through almost more.
Well, okay. So now it's like, because obviously it's not Honda anymore. now it is apparently a Red Bull engine.
Oh, okay.
So that's what it...
Interesting.
That's what it is. No, that's by
they
the
run
end
on. They just use Red Bull.
That's by the end of
fuel.
20. No, that's by the end of 2022.
The tropical or the watermelon yes, one yes, is making a difference. Sugar free.
Okay. 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 So because obviously Honda left at the end of last year, but I think Red Bull said that they would continue using Honda technology until like for another few years, but by the end of 2022, it's meant to just be like a Red Bull engine.
Okay.
So yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think they were going to use Honda until like 2025, 2026 or something. But yeah, might be Porsche now.
Could be, yeah.
Soon. I'd say that probably needs like a year or two to go through, but I don't actually know.
Can I just say anything? Can I say your F1 knowledge is astounding? Yeah. Like you had noticed, yes, you know a lot about the sport. Considering that the fact, like, it was only a few weeks ago when you told me, oh, I like just started getting into F1.
Really? Oh my god!
I get very fixated on my random hobbies that I pick up, and then
I feel
it was
like F1 is one of those sports that everyone watched because of the Netflix documentary recently.
I never watched that.
You got into it though; it's good.
So she's a legit fan. She's not just a Netflix fan.
I didn't even watch the Drive to Survive doc. Nah, I don't know. I hope all my information is correct. That's all I hope.
Can only hope, right? Can only hope. Actually.
But nah, I mean, I really like it. It's
awesome. Worth the early wake ups.
Yeah.
YouTube highlights. Yeah, nice, smart.
Sam, do you want to quickly brush over the tennis, or do you?
Yeah, sure. Tennis. My mum told me about this.
Woohoo! Sam's mum. Shout out to Sam's mum.
Shot, mum. A youngster.
What's her name?
The name Carl. Oh, hang on. What is it?
No, what's your mum's name?
Oh, Penny is my mum's name.
this next little bit is brought to you by Penny Ashton.
Sponsored by Penny Ashton. Thanks, Mum, for watching tennis when I don't. A youngster, 19-year-old Spanish tennis player, Carlos Alcaraz García, absolutely destroyed everyone in the Madrid Open. It included some serious competition. Alexander Zverev, Rafael Nadal. Hang on. I'm just kind of brushing over it here. So he
sure your mum would have done a bad
job. 100%.
Maybe we'll phone her up.
Oh, yeah, I'll give her a call.
Can we actually?
I mean, I can give her a go, see if she's
should
there.
We?
Haven't you got them on?
Hi, Penny.
Hi, Mum. How are you?
Love.
Hi. Hey,
what's this number?
This is one of the BFM office numbers.
Okay.
Because we're talking about, remember you told me about the tennis yesterday, how the youngster wiped the floor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just doing a sports podcast at the moment.
Young Spaniard thing.
Yes, young Spaniard. Who did he beat? Do you remember who he beat?
First of all, he beat Nadal in the Madrid Open. Then he beat Djokovic. Then he beat Zverev in the final.
Wow.
He won it.
That is something else. And he was only, what, 18, 19, wasn't he?
I think he's 19, Sam.
19, that is incredible.
Yeah, he's going to be a future one.
He's the next Nadal by the sounds of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's...
Seems that way.
Yeah, I was just about to get into the story here, but I didn't really know much about it, so we thought we'd give you a call.
And you're actually going to be on our podcast, Penny. Thank you very much.
Are you a big avid tennis watcher?
I am an avid, probably a sports watcher, but I do love
Can we get
tennis.
Your thoughts on not having, oh, what's his name, the dickhead?
A Medvedev
in this tournament.
Yeah, well, I think he's a great player, so I don't know why he wasn't in that tournament, but hey, this guy is our new rising star. I mean, beat Nadal, Djokovic, and then of course Zverev in the final. Pretty amazing.
I reckon. That's very true. He definitely beat me at tennis as well. My Remuera tennis club from the age of 8 to 12 failed me.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'll be rooting for you if you ever face him.
I will call you if I ever face him. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it'd be more like being at a great match like, you know, the US Open or something like that. You know, quite often went to the Australian Open many years ago, many years in a row, which is always a fantastic thing to do. Yeah, nothing better than being at something live like that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to when the ASB Open comes back, see which big stars come for that.
Exactly, though. That's exactly right. No, very cool.
Yeah, well, I'll leave you to it, Mum. Thanks for picking up and providing very good information.
Yes, thank you, Penny.
Okay, all good. See you guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Hi.
That was brilliant.
That was brilliant. Awesome. Oh, wait, just hang up.
Drop my glasses.
Oh, no, just hang up. Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's
the That was Penny Ashton. You're listening to the Thursday... Oh, wait, no, I'm not on the wire. Anyway... Wait, wait, wait.
You're listening
to the Thursday Wire.
Fucking hell, she's been going on that long.
Two whole days.
Your mum can talk, can't she, mate?
That was brilliant. Thank you for that, man.
I love that. Thanks, Penny.
Yeah, I guess that sort of sums up the highlight reel a little bit, which kind of went for most of the show. Real quick, we do have a couple more matters I want to address.
This sounds fucking serious.
Is the one
do we need our lawyers present or what?
I mean, you can if you want. Do you want me to make another phone call? So basically, these family YouTubers were vilified for making their 6-year-old son finish a full marathon. So run 42 kilometers.
What?
So these parents have amassed a large following on Instagram.
America?
Oh, how'd you know?
Had to be.
Florida?
Florida.
Close. It's actually Ohio. It's Ohio. Close. But yeah, they amassed a large following on Instagram and YouTube by chronicling their family's active lifestyle. But yeah, they made their 6-year-old kid run a full marathon.
That's disgusting.
There's no good reason for it.
Yeah, and the...
Also, a 6-year-old... like, definitively doesn't have the physical ability to run a 42K marathon.
Well, that's the thing. That's why some people are quite concerned.
Why some people are a bit concerned.
Just a bit concerned. There are 6-year-old was...
child welfare services.
Well, the 6-year-old was struggling quite a bit.
But
promised them Pringles if they continue to persevere after 7 hours.
Oh, no.
Wait, how long did it take?
7 hours.
That's terrible.
That's literally child abuse.
It could only happen in America.
No, but that's
segment.
Fucking child abuse. Not feeding your child for 7 hours and making them do physical
activity. But promising them
Pringles as well.
They don't have...
What flavour Pringles, though? That's the thing.
No salt.
It doesn't actually say.
No, that's it. Sorry, I shouldn't have made a joke amongst it. That's awful.
That's terrible.
Wankers.
Sour cream and onion.
Oh, definitely I'd stop. Fucking horrible.
Yeah, drew quite a bit of backlash. I think... It was, yeah, so American...
Because a child would take so much longer to do it than an adult would anyway.
Yeah, it's a long process for anyone.
I mean, I've done a full marathon before, and it's no easy task. It does take quite a bit of mental fortitude.
But yeah.
It's okay, you're good.
This is why she's good sitting next to you, because then you can give it back to her.
I've destroyed the whole dynamic. I hope that doesn't lead to any long-term issues physically for their little ones.
That's another thing. So the recovery from a full marathon is quite important, and you know, I don't know how it'll affect that kid. That's pretty insane.
Oh, huge! Yeah,
oh, there's no good reason for it. And like, no, you're right. It can actually.
There's
be
no
very...
bad reason either. There's
yes.
no reason.
There's no reason. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right.
No reason at all. Even if it's a little bit of social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. So American long-distance runner and two-time Olympian Kara Goucher did write something on this issue. And yes, she says, a 6-year-old who is struggling physically does not realize they have the right to stop and should. She added that, I'm not questioning motivation or saying it's bad parenting, but as an Olympic athlete, I promise you...
Oh, no, make a stand. That's bad fucking parenting. Shame on you.
That's fucking child abuse.
It's horrible.
So, yeah, that was our opinion. What was your opinion?
It's awful. I don't understand why you'd want to do that to your kid.
Or
like,
to anybody,
really.
For
it. Film it.
A full marathon.
Yeah.
See how many likes we get.
Yeah, a spokesperson for YouTube told local media that the family's videos documenting their son's training for the marathon did not violate its rules in terms of use.
Also, that's another thing. I cannot believe that this, like, that the marathon organisers were allowing a six-year-old to run the marathon.
Oh, so it wasn't just, like, was it actually a proper organised marathon that he participated in? Or they, whatever due to the child.
They just dropped him off, like, 60 miles from home or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought it might have been, like, just to, like, go alongside the kid.
No, it was the photo they had, sorry. In the photo, they're wearing, like, the marathon.
Yeah, the marathon gear. They posted all over.
Yeah, no, because they're wearing like numbers and shit.
So that's shame on the organizers.
Definitely shouldn't have allowed it. There should be. I mean,
there's an age cap.
I thought there was an age cap to marathon. I assumed that there would be an age cap of like 16 or something.
But as you say, if it was in Florida and he had a mullet, they'd probably away you go, mate.
Like, I'm shocked that the organisers allowed it. I'm shocked that that's legal.
Yeah, that's why, like, things like We Big Strayathon exist here, so the kids can have a run and have fun.
So there's something for the kids, because this shit is not for kids.
Yeah.
Says here on the marathon.
We Big Strayathon.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, no, this is funny and not.
No, say it.
No, but did you see that thing, on the flip side, that thing about that, like, grown man who participated in the Wheat Bix triathlon pretending that he was a kid.
Just go real hungry.
And he like gets his medal and everything and then comes out like a year later and is like, so it turns out I could get away with doing the Wheat Bix triathlon. Anyway, back to the serious stuff. See, that funny, hilarious, we love.
Reverse role too much.
But role reversal? Kids doing adult things? No.
Not great.
I'm actually gobsmacked that I thought it was just like a little run beside the car.
He was crying.
Yeah,
well, and we were moving slow, so no, I told him I'd buy him two tubes of Pringles. What the fuck?
That's yes, like four no, bucks. So it says here on the marathon course, Raina, their son, knew they usually hand out Pringles around mile 20. He was struggling physically and wanted to take a break and sit every 3 minutes.
No shit.
After 7 hours, we finally got to mile 20, only to find an abandoned table and empty boxes, the Crawfords wrote, alongside a photo of the six-year-old happily clutching his Pringles.
Wow. So they're having a go at the organisers for not having Pringles while exploring.
Potentially, yes.
The family said they took 8 hours and 35 minutes to finish. Okay, let me see.
That's gotta be traumatizing. Imagine just like suffering and looking over at the people who you would normally look for consolation just to see them like, hey.
Okay, so the global average time for a marathon stands at around 4 hours and 21 minutes. So that's like over double the time that it would take an adult anyway.
Yeah. Now, despite the parents being
vilified, 8 hours of not eating.
Well, they've also
6-year-olds need to nap.
Well, they've defended their decision. The parents have defended their decision.
Of course,
saying
it's America.
Well, yes. Well, they're saying that the 6-year-old has defended. Oh, he basically begged to be included. Right?
They
he begged.
Fucking
tell him no.
But that's
does
the thing. He doesn't
tell him
no.
He doesn't know any better. Exactly.
But when he starts crying, fucking take him
so
out.
So what happens when he says, "Oh, can I have like an Uzi? I want an Uzi. I want to try to see like shooting people."
An Uzi.
You just bring that up because it's America, right?
You say no, or like if you make the stupid decision to allow it to happen as soon as he starts fucking struggling, you're like, oh yeah. We all knew you couldn't do it, so now let's fuck off.
There's a lot about this is just, oh man. This whole situation is very messed up. So the president of the...
Also, I don't care if your six-year-old was begging to be included. You're a parent.
Yeah.
Well, an article published in the Clinical Journal of Sports Medicine in 2003 said children should not run long distance as they are not fully developed physically. Scientists also agree that children are more susceptible to injury when running long distances.
Is there anything from the marathon organizers?
There is. Iris Simpson Bush, the president of the Pigs Works Marathon, the marathon that they did partake in, said in an emailed statement that it was her decision to allow the entire family to participate, including making an exception for the 6-year-old.
They made an exception for the 6-year-old.
So the organizer or the president, the organizer did make an exception for this.
So that like children weren't allowed, but they made an exception for a 6-year-old.
Yes,
that's disgusting.
Do they regret
that's
it now?
That's beyond disgusting. No, of course they don't.
I mean, they regret it just because they got backlash.
Typically, for adults aged 18 years and up. Sorry,
you're good.
Oh, And in the future, Bush said the age limit will be enforced.
Yeah, to 7.
Far out.
They had this decision was not made lightly because the father was determined to do the race with his young child regardless. They had done it as bandits in prior years. Okay, so they had illegitimately, they'd just partaken.
Without officially being registered in the race.
Which does
happen. So it's happened
happen. More than once. No, well they've done it this year, like, they just did it.
Also
they
the
registered.
Thing is, marathons, you've got like marathon officials on the course at all times. As a, like an official who's working a marathon, surely you see a 6-year-old child like suffering. Crying and suffering. And you're like, hey guys, you know what? I'm just going to take this kid. We're going to get a little car to the end. We'll see you there. This isn't working. Like,
if his dad wanted to do it, he should have got like a stroller or something and lobbed him in there.
Or just chucked him on his back or some shit. Yeah. Like, I don't know. This is fun.
He must have run around for a little bit. That's fine. But not fucking 42 kilometers.
But at the same,
like 8 hours. Like,
I mean, but at the same time, it's. Yeah, there's actually no upside to this.
No, I think
the
backlash
is the upside to it. The fact people are like, hang on, this is fucked up. I'm glad that people are speaking up about it. Cause
you do mention the officials, though, but they took around like just over eight hours to complete it. The officials would have left the
Well,
the
even
track at
more
that point.
Shame on them. They should have gone out and got the little
they
track. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's starting to make me angry.
Yeah, so that was a bit, that was one of the more messed up things which did happen.
Good, nice to finish on a nice positive note.
Rainbows. There was something I wanted to talk about last week, but we didn't get to. Actually, I can't even.
What's the time?
I don't even know what it was.
2:02.
Joe doesn't remember what it was.
I don't. It was something. It was that video of the rugby players, the two kids, and they were from somewhere in the UK, a small town in the UK. And one of the kids, you know what I'm talking about, Sam.
Yeah.
And one of the kids was encouraging another kid, saying that you're an insane rugby player, you're so good. The other kid didn't have much confidence in himself. And if I could just find the video.
That was a really
good
video.
Well, then what happened?
So what happened is, like, one of the kids was upset because he thought he was too small to play rugby. But his teammate kind of went up to him, like grabbed him, like, you're an awesome rugby player. Everyone wants to play rugby with you. You know, look at me, I'm really small. Let's just get out and have a good time, pretty much. And then the coach was there the whole time. He was like, that's a teammate. That's a teammate.
So it was all wholesome.
It's hugely
and very
wholesome.
Sweet.
These are, like 7-year-old kids, too.
Well, look at the difference in the two stories you just talked about.
Exactly.
You got poor little 6-year-old, and then you've got 7-year-olds. See, that year makes all that difference,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
Six and a half is a turning point.
Yeah.
When you just become cognitive and you don't run around just shit.
Wait, I
want
to watch this video.
Real quick, I'll get you guys to react to this clip.
Okay. See, reacting to videos does not translate well to podcasts.
Nah, pull that up, Jamie. What, you didn't watch? You never watched Joe Rogan before? Anyway.
Oh, that's bottom lip wobbling time. That is beautiful.
Oh, God, no.
Are you crying?
Yeah, it's bottom lip wobbling.
Yeah.
God.
It's beautiful, right?
It is beautiful.
I'm
so glad you ended up on this. It's so positive. It's so beautiful.
Oh, my God, that is
Anika
gorgeous.
Is bottom lipping it.
I was gonna bring it up last.
I'm biting them back as well.
Yeah.
That
was
really
beautiful, right?
That is why sport. That is why sport.
Bless you, Anika.
Yeah.
Now I'm done. You play sports at the highest level for the most money, but at the end of the day,
that's what it's all about.
You know?
That's passion, the love of the sport. That's why we're all here.
It's
or why you guys are here and I'm just here.
It's more than just
a pleasure
game.
Having you here again, mate, to be honest with you.
I'm just here I've watched sport before. Here I am.
This is such a tone shift from us making dick jokes last week. blokey stuff.
Were we?
Yeah, remember? The foods?
Oh, shit, were we? I apologise for that. I was just caught up in a moment.
Yeah, no, it was good. I'm going to cut all that out, though.
This is a...
Anika, you all right?
That is a fantastic ending to that podcast.
That's, you know what, that's probably one of the nicest things, sporting things, I think I've ever seen.
And it was really cute.
Yeah. It was just all the adults, fucking pay attention to that.
The emotion, the passion.
But for rugby as well, that's what annoys me.
Well, it's kids rugby. It's kids rugby as well.
No, don't matter. Rugby's rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
No, I was just kidding. That was amazing.
That was so cute.
Yeah.
What a lovely note to end on.
Maybe we should finish off the show. Maybe we should finish off the show every week on something wholesome.
Yeah, I think we should.
From now on? Okay.
We addressed the dollar. Wait, I can't say much.
Bro, we're going to have you on a lot more, though, because we do have the end of the Premier League coming up, and then we also have the World Cup coming on.
True.
So there will be...
More ways welcome. Always welcome, Sam.
Beautiful.
You know, despite me being a bit of a peen arse earlier on, but you know, that's who I am. Well,
thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I love a bit of shithousery.
Yeah, and thank your mum for us. Yeah.
Yes,
does she realise she's going to be on a podcast?
I'll tell her when I get home tonight.
We'll find out soon. That was fantastic. That was Penny.
Yeah,
special guest Penny.
Real quick, is there anything you guys want to mention that's happening this weekend?
Obviously Friday, Tottenham Arsenal. I think I could be a broken man. No, I'm not broken. I've accepted the fact we're going to get fifth. I just want to beat the Gooners. Don't give a shit about anything else.
The Gooners.
Yeah. The arse, as we like to call them.
The arse. Yeah, we've got Man City this weekend. We're going to get battered, most likely. Hopefully the score's not too bad, because...
Oh, Man City will want to win, mate, because they're like ahead of Liverpool now, thanks to us.
Yes, exactly. That one-all draw definitely wouldn't have helped anyone. But I'm hoping we don't get absolutely battered with that, because our big win against Norwich on Sunday morning was great, keeping us in the Europa League. Especially when United got beat 4-0 by Brighton. And we have Brighton the following week, and Brighton's
They're consistently inconsistent, a bit like Tottenham, really.
Neil Morpai just seems to score against West Ham all the time. And he is a little shit sometimes. He just winds me up, but it's sport at the end of the day. Everyone...
Oh, I don't know about that, mate.
I mean, if we just look at that video that Joe showed us, it's the
passion. But it brings it all into perspective, really, isn't it? Puts a lot of people to shame, myself included.
Oh, yeah, no, I've said my fair share of shit about players amongst people and on the socials, but yeah, at the end of the day. I mean, actually, one thing I would like to mention is the overall reaction to West Ham getting knocked out of the Europa League was very positive. I'm glad it wasn't as slanderous
For me personally, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for West Ham. Acne Marshes. Yeah. Just kidding. I've always liked West Ham because to me they're the pie mash and ale liquor boys.
Oh, big time, yeah. They're just, started from nothing, the Thames Island Roots FC.
Still nothing,
yeah. Just getting into the top.
Non-glamour side of London, really.
No, pretty on the Premier League for sure. He's hoping we stay on a slight incline for the whole season, the coming seasons.
And then the Spanish Grand Prix is on, not this weekend, next weekend, right, Anika?
End of May.
All right.
Sounds like F1 has got a lot going on, which will be cool to keep.
Also, we've got a bit of UFC on.
Pick two.
I'll pick. There's just one. There's one card.
Man. Oh, he's going to pick one?
Okay, there's... Blachowicz versus Alexander Rakic is on.
I'm sure he makes up these names. That's why I wouldn't have a clue.
It's not the most stacked card, as far as star power goes, but it's definitely worth watching if you're a combat sports fan. Okay, also, Floyd Mayweather.
Okay, cool.
Floyd Mayweather's fighting this weekend.
I thought he packed up. Who's he fighting?
He's fighting Don Moore on top of a helipad.
What? On top of a helipad? Fuck. Yeah. That's a bit of a gimmick.
What happens if you fall over? You just die?
He's fighting in Dubai.
Oh.
Wait, is it on top of the thing you played tennis on?
Shh.
No. They had the tennis match on top of that.
Yeah, I think so.
Nadal and old mate. No, Federer and old mate. Yeah. I don't know who the other old mate was. But
Nadal?
Could have been.
But and then I think Anderson Silva was fighting on that same card as
which
well.
Which is so funny, because imagine just chilling on the streets of Dubai and a flying tennis ball just...
Kills you.
Yeah, because if it was high up enough...
It's on the top of the sky.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? It's not the top of the Burj Khalifa, is it?
No.
I don't think so.
Slightly smaller one.
That's
on the beach.
Silly.
Yeah.
And if you were... Sorry, carry on, Joe.
No, that's just happening. You don't have to watch it. Yeah. It's an exhibition.
Nah, okay, I won't.
Okay.
You're going to watch it?
I'm very busy this weekend, so probably not.
Well, but if you're not going to watch it, why the fuck is Rob going to watch it?
Because maybe Rob wants to watch it.
Nah.
If you've got nothing on, go watch your local sports.
Oh, yeah, yes, go watch your local sports. You played
3-0.
You won.
Yeah, which is good. I'm currently out because I've got a bit of a busted knee at the moment.
Oh, that's not good.
But I'm hoping in the next few weeks to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Season just started then?
Yes, first game of the season was last season. But yeah, also go down to your local kickboxing gym. I think I've been to a couple fights at Shuriken.
Yo, sure. Yes.
Fight for them, and they're awesome.
There's a Shuriken card, a mixed martial arts card on next weekend.
Oh, so check that out.
We'll talk about that next week then.
Okay. Yes, sir. Cool.
That's it.
Cool.
All right. We're out of here.
We'll see you now. Cut.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.